Welcome to the Sad Girls Club Literary Podcast. Today, we are going to hear Collector of Passports, read by the author Nina Lichtenstein. This creative nonfiction piece is scheduled to be published on our blog on May 10th, 2021. To read this story and many others, visit us on the web at sadgirlsclublit.com. Before we get into the story, here's a word from our sponsor.
I'm born Norwegian, a new American, and soon to become an Israeli citizen too. Who needs three passports when many people in the world don't even have the privilege of one? Well, I do. I've waited for over 30 years to legally manifest my multiple belonging because it was just in January of 2020 that Norway finally allowed its citizens to hold more than one passport. Suddenly, it felt urgent to formalize my threefold allegiance. Immigration stories are rarely simple, and my tripartite national belonging is a testament to a life trajectory that was not planned, but that happened a certain way, like so many do. I didn't have the peripatetic childhood that often causes adults to feel rootless or unsettled throughout life. I grew up in Oslo, Norway, and owned and roamed the city like I was the queen of the jungle. I was fearless and ferociously independent, typical of the latchkey kid generation. For 19 years, that country was the safe cradle of my Bildungsroman. The people and places specific to this first chapter in my life populate my dreams, my yearnings, and my most palpable memories. I didn't crave to leave Norway exactly when I set sail for America in the summer of 1984, but my subconscious self must have been searching for something. Intended as a gap year between high school and university, I now marvel at how 33 years passed while I've lived in the U.S., with only a few brief interludes in France, Norway, and Israel. A marriage, three kids, and a divorce later, it was only when I began to examine my journey in writing that I could glean an understanding of my migrations. Not only did I fall in love and decide to stay in the U.S., but I joined the Jewish tribe when I converted to Judaism and married a Jewish American man and his clan in 1988. I had to prove my knowledge and conviction in front of a Jewish court, a Bet Din. The entry exam was a humbling experience, face to face with three bearded Orthodox rabbis. Among other things, I had to agree that Abraham and Sarah were now my true parents and that I would not celebrate Christmas anymore. While the cultural adjustments from Norway to America required plenty of compromises, trials, and errors, the learning curve for becoming Jewish, which was much more significant. Though this immigration was spiritual in nature, a seemingly endless lineup of practical life changes were required. These were all different from my stoic Nordic heritage and mostly agnostic childhood and adolescence. As a Jew, I committed to keeping kosher, observe the Sabbath and Jewish holidays, great and small, and to educate my children in all things Jewish. The home and family life I created as a Jewish wife and mother became an expression of what I did not have growing up, what I eventually understood I had hungered for as a child. I became the quintessential Yiddish mama, always offering hospitality and meals. Our home became our temple, of sorts, a sacred central space in our lives. Now that I recently became an American citizen, I was again tested for my allegiance and knowledge in order to be granted admission. I studied the 100 questions about American history and civics, happy to finally learn what I had ignored for too long. I practiced the Pledge of Allegiance for the naturalization ceremony taking place 1 week later. But there, something unsettling happened. The agent presiding over the ceremony handed me a paper with photocopied text that did not look anything like the pledge I had practiced. "I hereby declare, on oath, that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty, of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen," it began. "But I'm a Norwegian citizen too," I thought. "I love my king." "That I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law," the oath continued. I will always be ready to serve my country, I knew, but this sounds a lot like an NRA plug. Safely spaced 6 feet apart in the parking lot of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services office, we, the almost new Americans, glanced furtively at one another, and I swore I could hear them think, like me, "What the fuck?" Together we mumbled the words on the paper in a cacophony of confusion that suddenly felt uncannily similar to the wacky state of the nation. I received my certificate of naturalization on October 16, 2020, and I was finally able to vote for the first time. It felt so great to turn in that ballot at my local town hall that I was giddy, and my partner was so emotional about it, he cried as we exited the polling station hand in hand. And now, finally, after being Jewish for nearly 33 years, I have embarked on another arduous immigration journey, becoming an Israeli citizen. When a Jewish person moves to Israel, it's called to make aliyah, which in Hebrew means to go up or ascend, in a spiritual sense. But as a convert, the path to Israeli citizenship requires many more hoops and scrutiny than for someone who is born Jewish. Again, I am faced with having to prove my credentials. It's not enough that I underwent an Orthodox conversion, that according to even the strictest standards of Jewish law or halakha, I am Jewish. I have to document my ongoing involvement in Jewish life and community, and I need to ask rabbis who know me to write letters of support. It was not until I was separated in 2010 that I began my true love affair with this complex country in the Middle East, where Christians, Jews, and Arabs share their sense of yearning, belonging, and entitlement. After several summer-long studies at the Hebrew University to learn the language and dozens of visits to my partner's family and our mutual friends, I'm convinced that I will not fulfill my life's destiny before I can call Israel my home, too. I experience a visceral joy when I'm in Israel. Nobody looks at you funny when you say, "Is it kosher?" You're not the only person who rushes on Friday afternoons to be home for the Sabbath meal or who celebrates Rosh Hashanah and Passover. It's really something to feel like you're among your people and that your people are in a land where that they can call home, complexities and all. All these new beginnings, the transplanting, whether geographic or spiritual, have never been easy. It's humbling to navigate the new while code-switching and also staying true to my own inner self. But as challenging as it can be, it's also empowering that I am able to adapt, translate, and thrive in several countries. I imagine a Venn diagram with each of the three circles representing Norway, USA, and Israel. The smaller area in the middle where the circles overlap, that's the core of me, not watered out or weaker because eternally suspended in between, but stronger and more colorful, centered even, around my division. I must embrace this kaleidoscopic understanding of Nina and imagine myself a pliant and dynamic human being and stronger for it. But I don't want to lie. Despite how resilient I may imagine myself due to my ability to master languages and cultural know-hows, whether I'm at home in Norway, USA, or Israel, I'm often painfully aware that I'm on the periphery looking in. There's always a reference I miss or don't get, a word or expression that I don't know, a moment when the reality of my outsiderness stings. Does this mean that I don't belong anywhere? That I actually am rootless, after all? But then I remember the most valuable of my possessions, a kind of passport not issued by any nation, but one that allows me access and entry to a borderless notion of home, not bound by location. I carry this passport in me, not on me, and it's like a gateway to living with ease by letting go. It's not for the faint-hearted to choose to belong to several countries and cultures at once, but perhaps it is for the big-spirited, those who can breathe large and deep and imagine themselves whole because divided, singular because multiple. I am a collector of passports, but the real passport I carry in my heart.
We hope you enjoyed Collector of Passports by Nina Lichtenstein. We are always looking for submissions for our blog and podcast. To submit your work for publication, visit sadgirlsclublit.com and click on submissions at the top of the home screen. Thanks for listening.